ladies and gentlemen.
British Columbia.
You're listening to Pacific Town Sound Radio.
Hello and welcome to Pacific Sound Radio, your go-to source for everything happening in the Vancouver music scene. I'm James Olson.
And I'm Travis Noel.
So we're shaking things up a bit on this week's episode. Producer and engineer Braden Pockets Rangno will be calling in for a return visit on this week's Pacific Sound Profile. Braden has had a very busy 2018, and we're looking forward to hearing about the projects he's been working on and what he has planned for this year.
Oh, yeah, he's a really cool dude.
Yeah.
I remember talking to him really early last year.
Yeah, almost a year ago.
Yeah.
To the month.
Super cool guest.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
It's been up to a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. In our second hour, stick around for some highlights from the most recent Locals Lounge Showcase on January 17th at the Railway Stage and Beer Cafe, featuring local soul and R&B royalty Tanya. For listeners who aren't familiar, Locals Lounge is a live music showcase featuring Vancouver's best musical artists, where audience get to learn about the people behind the music. Host Ian Cromwell is a close friend of the show, and Pacific Sound Radio are proud partners of Locals Lounge. But first, Travis, what's going on in the news for this week?
I got some really good news, James. Really good news. You excited?
Yeah.
Why is that quiet? Has never happened before.
No, it's because I got the thing on repeat. Just don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm worried about it. I fixed it. No more intro music. Because the introduction is done. But back to the news.
Yes.
Our favorite part of the show. Toronto-based record label Royal Mountain Records has done something really cool. They've opened up a fund to assist their artists into getting treatment for mental health or addiction issues. Artists on the label will have access to $1,500 to confidentially put towards their mental wellness, and they won't need to pay the label back. And then the money is there if they need it. It's one of those weird things that artists are expected to be depressed, and that's not really cool.
I actually just finished reading Jeff Tweedy's memoir. Jeff Tweedy's the main guy from Wilco, and he in the book he talks about some of his struggles with mental health and the fact that he had a pretty severe addiction to painkillers for a chunk of his career. There was a section in there where he kind of lambasted this notion that like you have to be tortured in order to be a great artist.
Yeah.
It's kind of this bullshit thing that's been thrown around simply because there have been incredible artists with mental health issues, but
that doesn't mean there should be.
Everyone's got problems. It's
yeah.
just a matter of, you know, and that doesn't mean that
it's like
a creative person is less entitled to get the help that they need.
Yeah, just because they're making sad music. Help.
Yeah.
Talk. Bell, let's talk day hashtag.
That was over a week ago.
Yeah.
It's not restricted to one day.
No, it's important.
Yeah.
And mental health is very important.
And just the fact that they're willing to, that this label's willing to support artists, like $1,500, I mean,
yeah.
even if that means like a monthly counseling session for an artist.
It's completely confidential.
Yeah.
And they don't, like, they're not worried about that money at all, which is nice. It's not like,
if you have that money to,
it's not like a record label in the 70s.
when they had more money,
but it was like, here's $1 million, but you have to get us that money back or else.
Yeah, I can't speak to Royal Mountain Records. As far as I understand, some labels still function like that.
Yeah,
but
I mean, based off of this one story, they're pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds like it's a really great initiative.
All right, our next story is also a pretty cool thing. The aardvark from PBS. Author and musician Vivek Shreya has done a pretty awesome thing. She wants to help up-and-coming musicians navigate a more equitable system and has launched a new $5,000 grant for a musician or group who is Indigenous or a person of color between the ages of 18 and 28 to create their debut EP. Applications are due May 15th and can be found at bsarts.ca. Good.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's great stuff.
Always nice to have more money available for artists to get going, mm-hmm. get where they need to go.
$5,000 for a debut EP is pretty good.
Yeah, it's going to be a good-sounding EP for whoever gets that money.
Yeah. And now for the best part of the news.
Oh, no.
Time for the Spotify news on a segment we like to call Spotify News.
Spotify News.
I worked really hard. Yeah, I don't know how to audio. But anyways, Spotify has made a pretty big play on the podcast industry. They have acquired Gimlet Media and Anchor, two of the largest podcast production and distribution companies. It's essentially the podcast equivalent of buying Universal and DistroKid at the same time.
Wow.
Spotify now accounts for 20% of podcast listening, which is up from 7% only half a year ago. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next.
It's like, yeah, definitely.
A pretty big deal in the podcast sphere.
Yeah, I mean, I primarily listen to podcasts on Spotify unless they're not on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but you know how it is. If it's on Spotify, it just makes it that much easier for me to listen to it. So.
Yeah. And it's just pretty cool news. Pretty cool Spotify news. That was our Spotify news segment for the day.
All right. So for this week's Pacific Sound Profile, we will be welcoming back Braden Pockets Rango to the show. Braden is a producer, mixer, and recording engineer who works out of the Vibe Cave at Amethyst Studio. We last spoke with Braden way back on episode 14, and since then he's been keeping himself busy on a variety of projects for a range of acts, including rapper Francis Arevalo, surf rockers Wrecked Beach, and synthwave artist Extra Deluxe. All right, so Braden, I think we got your volume sorted out as best we can. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for being patient with us here, and also just being able to call in, considering, you know, just stuff you're also dealing with. So we really appreciate that you're able to do this as well. So it's been almost a year since we last caught up. What have been some of the highlights at the Vibe Cave in 2018?
Oh man, some of the highlights right at the end, I renoed the bejesus out of the thing, which is awesome. It was one of the best feelings, the best things I've done. So I've put in, like, it's all new flooring, new desk, whole, like, rooms changed in terms of how I'm doing, like, amp isolation and the quality of stuff I've got just within, like, my in-house stuff for that. It's been a massive improvement, and the main thing is just overall feel of it to make it more open for other artists. That's what I've accomplished. It's much more comfortable, and I'm just happier going in there every single day. It's fucking awesome. Besides that, it hasn't been fully announced, but I can kind of do it now. I've been made a partner with Rain City Recorders at the main room there, which is really next door to mine. So becoming partners up with those guys is phenomenal. They're an amazing crew that do killer music. For the Vibe Cave itself, I mean, that's been that, but I had some awesome releases with this other guy named Extra Deluxe, who's you're just listening, or will be listening to in a little bit. I did some great work with Francis Arevalo and Kim Mortal. A ton of awesome different projects came across my plate, and I'm so lucky to just keep doing this more in 2019. So, like, highlights were pretty much whole last 4 months was crazy building, and now I get to play with all the new toys in 2019 in the studio.
That's great stuff. Great to hear. How long did it take you to do the renos, by the way?
I would even call it an ongoing process because I want to keep changing stuff to make it, you know, just a little bit better. But it took, oh man, probably like 3 weeks was the main thing. To, like, we took out all, you know, taking everything out, packing everything up was way more than I thought I'd accumulated kind of two stuff. So I made sure to kind of do a bit of in-house cleansing. We did the flooring and everything, and it was probably about 3 weeks in total for, like, flooring, painting, taking out this giant ISO cube I had that was solid with sand, just like this huge monster thing, and then getting everything back up and running. Was probably about that. It ultimately came out to be a little less, but then dialing stuff in so I could use all the pieces took it a bit extra longer. but I still need to do some recovering of some baffles and some basic artistic stuff just to make it look really cool. I'm really just missing out on that last bit of vibe in the vibe cave right now.
What's the last little bit of vibe specifically?
It's kind of just making things the most functional so we can kind of turn the corner and start using it. So, like, I've got a big synth thing, I call it Synth Island, that's connected to my main rig, and having everything just always plugged in, always MIDI'd up, ready to go. So if we want a silly little Casio sampler synth or, like, a nicer Juno, we can kind of pop between stuff with the same ease and the same quality. So it sounds, like, kind of basic, but when you want to have everything, like, in the best way possible for people, that's where you're, like, tear stuff down a few times over. But the other piece is, like, I just want to get these goddamn Hue lights working. They're fucking awesome. LED lights you control with your phone, set the vibe, you know, so to speak, with the lighting instantly. But it's been a bitch to get working with my old-ass phone. So I'm just kind of pissed off, where I'm like, I want my vibe lights. Come on. That's the last piece for me. Once I get the vibe lights going, I'll be a happy man.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned this on one of our earlier interviews, and I kind of see this from perusing your social media, but you have a habit of collecting new gear and equipment for the Vibe Cave, always collecting. What have been some of your latest additions to your toolbox, and do you have a favorite out of the bunch?
Latest additions. Hold on, I'm just trying to think, because I kind of just did a bit of clearing on some of my stuff, too. Latest addition would have to be this thing called the NDLR, or the Noodler. And this is perfect for someone like me who isn't the best keyboard player or guitar player, but what it does is it sets everything up to have a brain, its own brain of, like, arpeggiation, drones, chord changes and stuff. It, you know, can think about what you're doing in advance and kind of act like a bit of a computer, like it's got logic boards in it. And it's super nerdy, but it allows you to plug in a bunch of toys, set up some random-ass parameters, and just do weird chord and key changes and make music and adjust parameters on all your synths. So it just keeps constantly playing these loops or these patterns, kind of just like a over-the-top sequencer in a way. But I kickstarted this thing like 2 years ago. This is my birthday present to myself, and I got it a little bit, and probably like a month or two, and I've had a few times to jam on it, and it's like way too much fun because it just runs everything for you without like a more complex sequencer. It's a pretty simple thing. But like, yeah, the Noodler, that's probably one of the coolest pieces. Yeah, I guess so. That's going to be like the main thing. I've been trying not to buy too much more stuff. Besides that, I picked up a vintage Shure SM7, kind of on a, just found it for a good deal out in Montreal, came from a radio station, and that's just kind of like cool mic stuff. But yeah, the mic and that piece, those are the main latest two acquisitions. I've been trying to be a little careful on what I'm buying these days. Just, you know, focusing on the reno, that's the main thing.
Yeah, of course. The Noodler sounds cool. I mean, have you had the chance to use it on any songs with any artists you've been working on or working with?
No songs or artists that I've been working on. I've got some other cool little toys for the main sounds. That's like a personal nerd thing where you kind of set it up for yourself to make tracks. I might use it for like an intro or some sound design for a song at some point for sure, but I've kind of had like a game plan with the stuff I've been working on, so it hasn't been about bringing that new thing in. I just wanted to make sure I got the ideas down that I already have, because kind of bouncing between a bunch of different stuff and I start drifting too far with that serious playtime things, I'm just not going to get the kind of time I need out of some of the projects.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, and just in terms of, like, cool, like, gear stuff, of like, the main thing I have been using on people's pieces and tracks has been, it's an old Yamaha synth. It's basically, it's called a PSR, I think, oh, man, PSR 6-something or 370, honestly can't remember off the top of my head, but it's an FM synth that combos all of those old, like, you know, your grandparents had that, like, crappy Casio keyboard and all the cheesy sounds. You take those and run it through an FM synth where you've got all the parameters on faders, so you can, like, really manipulate it. And those have been some of the coolest, like, 90s, 80s textures crap I've been able to pull out, just because you've got that extra synth to run shit through. And I bring it out, and I literally just had my last artist go, "What the fuck is that, man? Why'd you bring that out?" I'm like, "Don't worry. Play the keyboard. Play the riff. I'll dial it in." He's like, "Why are we using it? Use a plug." And I'm like, "Shut up. Just play the keyboard. Trust me, for 5 minutes." And it always ends up being like some super unique sound. So that's not a latest acquisition. I've just been using it a ton more because I found its little niche of sounds in the project and more not.
That sounds super cool. So you work with artists from across the musical spectrum. What practices or principles unify your approach when it comes to working with different musical acts?
That's a phenomenal question.
Well, thank you.
The main thing I like to say with that is it's kind of always about the artist and their time and vibe and their the approach and the chance that they get to actually do their art properly, I should say. Like, I like to facilitate the artist to give their best stuff. Like, if that means setting up a cool little corner for somebody, or if that means like making sure that they've just got a good bit of like tea in them or something, or we haven't been talking about their personal life and focusing on music because I know that's been distracting for them. Like, anything I can do to start that right off the top is super important for me, because if I'm not on the same page as like the artist and what they're doing, you know, there's some just general engineering stuff I can do, but if they want me to like help produce and take their track to the next level, I gotta know where they're at and I gotta know how to facilitate it. So across the board, it's always like, okay, am I on the same wavelength as them? Are we gonna go towards the same kind of product together? You know, whether we know the same, like, the same process, if they're new to the studio, that's fine. You gotta make sure that you can approach their art in the same way, so they don't even think about the technical bullshit. Like, that's entirely on me. So every time it's like, figure out what I can do to make sure when they come in, they're just separating the other stuff and just playing.
Yeah, of course. What was the most challenging project you worked on last year, and why?
There's a challenging project that I did a little, probably in the last couple of months. I think maybe in September or November. I kind of a little bit lost track. I won't bring up the name, but it's mostly because they're a phenomenal project and they make really cool art. But I just ended up kind of butting heads with one of the creatives in there. I just didn't actually we had a misstep, and this is in the same way I was kind of saying. It's like, I didn't get on the same wavelength of creativity as that person was. And they're phenomenal. They've got so many ideas. They've got things planned out. They came organized. And from where they thought what their approach was and what mine was a little different, and like, I definitely learned a good lesson of assessing as much as possible. I was running around quite busy with a couple other projects, and I thought I understood through a prior relationship with one of the other artists in the band what they were kind of like, and I was just incorrect. And I could have done a better job at being there for them and understanding what they're looking for, and again, helping to facilitate that. They're ultimately happy with the project and the product that they've got. I'm happy with it too. It's like some pretty cool psych stuff, but it was just a point where I'm like, oh, I thought I kind of had this part down, but I don't, so I've got to focus again on it. That was kind of the more challenging things, because I just don't want to walk away with them going like, you know, man, we're disappointed with how this turned out, or this whole time tracking, this was all sucked. That's what I can't have. Ultimately, again, everything turned out really good, but I could have been better.
Fair enough, but it sounds like it was a good learning opportunity for you.
It was. It was a great learning opportunity for me, and I have definitely adjusted since. And that was, like, you know, super recent as well. So I'm, you know, just approaching things with another layer of, you know, I guess another level of kind of questions and another level of assessment before I try and make a decision or help people.
Yeah, of course. Let's see. Most recently, you've worked with a pair of really fun up-and-coming rock acts, the Noodle Boys and Wreck Beach. What was your experience like working with them in the studio? And I do have to ask if there were any shenanigans to be had.
Oh, man. Okay, so both those groups of guys are fucking awesome. I love all the dudes in those projects, and they are the kind of guys that I'm used to. Like, I'm from the island. I'm hanging out there right now. That's why I'm phoning in. they're from Alberta. They're from some smaller towns and stuff. And I don't know, man, they're just great dudes. We get along super well. So I know through some of them through my other day job and through a dispensary I like to frequent in Vancouver as well. And they're just like a great band. Like, I work on lots of single artists and lots of hip hop and stuff like that. But they were like, they've got some surf rock, some psych stuff. And I was just all over it because they could play and they had a great time live. So that's kind of why I wanted to jump in with them, because they were just super fun dudes. For Shenanigans, man, they're all pretty good. Like they're all decent boys. Most of them are good Burrow boys, but I can't really remember anything with them really fucking with me or like trying anything super stupid. I wish I could say like, oh yeah, the drummer came in buck naked one time and they had their best take or whatever, and he left a butt pucker on the seat. I got none of that. I've just got like some dudes that had a great time. They're all super happy, you know, and I think that's been probably some of the most fun recording I've had in, I don't know, last year, last 6 months. I had lots of great fun and great like times, but those dudes were just like straight up ready to play on both bands.
That's awesome. And Noodle Boys and Rec Beach actually played a show at their house in early December, and you were there. We might have run into each other, but I don't know about you, but do you remember much from that most recent mansion party?
That was amazing. No, straight up, that was one of the best parties I've went to probably since like early high school or something like that. Mostly because like the house is massive, they took care of it, all the breakables and stuff are gone, you know, classic party style. They had wicked bands, there was no like cover, they weren't trying to charge for it, and everyone there was just good people. I bumped into folks I haven't seen in like 5 years, and they hadn't seen each other in like 4 years, and it wound up at the kitchen at the same time. Like, what the hell are you guys doing here? Like, that show between, it was like, what was it? Them, Wreck Beach, Noodle Boys, and Whisper Disco, and one other band. Those three were killer. Like, I left for a smoke just before Whisper Disco started. I couldn't even get back anywhere close to the floor. I was on the edge. Like, I tried to get through. There was no point. Like, that, hands down, one of the best parties I've been to probably ever.
I wish I could remember Whisper Disco's set. Apparently, Vivian gave me a sticker, and I didn't find out that she had given me a sticker until the morning after.
Okay, you had a great time, man.
I did.
I think I left at like 12:30. I reached peak people saturation, and I drove there, and I stayed like sober. I could leave. I was driving a bunch of people there. I was just having a good time hanging out.
That's awesome. I wish you were here, because I was planning on showing you a photo of what happened to my backpack that night. I was hanging out with people in the kitchen, and for some reason someone had left the burner on the stove, and I was wearing my backpack, and I leaned up against the burner, and no joke, dude, the burner, like, burned a hole through my backpack.
Damn.
Very happy I was wearing my backpack, rather it than me.
And you're, like, messed up. You're not ready for anything to be on fire, let alone you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, dude. Okay, I'm sorry. When the hell did that happen? That must have been after I left.
That must have been after you left, but it was funny because, like, Giuliano from Noodle Boys basically rushed up and was like, oh, dude, are you okay? What the hell? And I was like, I was fine, but I didn't know it. But he pointed out to me. He's like, dude, your backpack. What the fuck?
Shit. Like, is everything okay? You didn't wreck anything? Just the backpack and a little bit of ego, or what?
Oh, just the backpack. I don't really care about the ego in that scenario. I was too far gone for that to be an issue.
No, man, you're way too humble, way too humble.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. So you primarily work in the Vibe Cave, but you've recorded in a variety of different spaces. What has been the most unique environment that you've recorded in, and how did that space add to the sound of the finished project?
The most unique one is a project that actually never came out. This is one, I was just literally just talking about this today. I went up with a pair of artists that now have a different project called Weep and Bloom. You should check them out. They're fucking phenomenal. Josh and Talia are amazing artists. So Weep and Bloom is this project. So we did an early version of these guys. Went over the Sunshine Coast in the summer. I took a little Tascam tape machine and some mics, a couple of guitar pedals, like we're talking two microphones, a couple of guitar pedals for reverb and stuff, and we just found this, my buddy's cabin. We're talking not like wood, I don't want to like make it sound too romantic, we're not talking like, you know, rounded wood stuff, log stacked on top, just like a cool cabin overlooking the water, you know, not too far from where the ferries were, and it just had like a nice vaulted ceiling. But it's more of, like, not the sound of the space, just where we were, the fact we took the ferry over to the Sunshine Coast, the fact that we were hanging out there for, you know, a day and a half trying to do, like, 19 songs or something, and you know, the look that we had every time we stopped, we just walked down onto the deck, the pretty small cabin, and just like hung out there and saw like boats come in and just like the, you know, the gorgeousness of the area. And that was like kind of the influence of like their whole attitude. When it get dark, when it got dark and we're in the, you know, we're pretty much in the woods, everything's so quiet, you know, they have the moment to do even like the mellower songs when they're exhausted. So it was like kind of facilitating that space for them, and that gave like what that project was, you know, banjo, vocals, and guitar at the time, everything it needed to be the kind of weirdness and the creepiness and like all of the cool alt folk that they were.
That sounds really cool. Who are some of the artists that you have worked with that you're most excited for? Who do you think has the potential to get to that quote unquote next level?
I'm really excited for all, like, all of them. It depends on what that next level is. I gotta kind of, like, divert that a touch just because, like, next level is different for everybody. I think I'm super happy with some of my, my single artists. Like, I'm working with a phenomenal woman named Tissa Rahim. She is, doing some amazing R&B stuff, a lot of really cool blues, and she's got a sound that I think a lot of people are listening to. Not like a solid, so much a pop thing, even though she's in that direction, just awesome, cool R&B in her authentic style. I'm working with Kim Mortal. We still have a track that's going to be coming out, our newest record, I think in March here, and I'm super proud of that song, just because this is one of the few that I've, like, fully produced with her. But I'm telling her straight up, I'm like, that song's going to get nominated for Juno for 2020. I'm calling it. And she's like, really? That's so bold. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. It's going to get nominated for Juno 2020. I think both of them have the potential to go for it. And then the last guy here, like Francis Revelo as well, he's making huge strides constantly. I've got Extra Deluxe, who you're going to hear in a minute. He's making a ton of music for a ton of different people in terms of like a bit more placement stuff and some video game music we're going to be doing together as well. So in terms of like expanding his base, maybe not exploding in his genre, but like in terms of like expanding the music he's doing, that guy's going to have so many opportunities soon. And it's awesome to kind of just help watch him or help him grow and watch him make all these steps for himself because he's doing a great job.
That's awesome. I'm not sure if I had mentioned this, but I actually went to UBC with Francis. I haven't really run into him since, so I'm hoping I do, just so I can be like, hey, I fucking know you.
Yeah, man. Well, you gotta get him on the show, just period, because that guy is an amazing dude who's got a phenomenal amount to say about everything from like hip-hop and artistry and what it is to be a musician and how to, like, mental health and to family and things. Like, that guy you have to have on. He's going to be a treat.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What projects are you currently working on that you can't wait for people to hear?
So I just started a new project with Audrey. Oh, I'm sorry, Audrey. I'm going to screw up your last name. Audrey Arello? Arello? I'm sorry. Amazing Filipino artist. She's actually down in L.A. right now doing a track with what is basically like Filipino Idol, getting ready for stuff. So she's in the finals of that. So I just started her EP last Monday here. We're doing a few songs, her and another guy named Harvey Paris, who does this other project called Stalsahal Collective. But those two writing together are awesome. So I'm engineering, I'm going to be doing some mixing for him and a touch of producing, but like her music is so amazing. Her harmonies and the way she just does certain melodies is stuff that I'm just like super stoked for, because I just did this on Monday. I was trying to edit some stuff on the ferry ride over here just because I really wanted to hear it again. But that, and then Tissa Rahim, we've got a track coming out. That's the main one. I think it's going to be in, I think, end of February, early March here. I'm really excited to show everyone that song as well. Just what we've been doing together. That's our first track. And I'm really excited to see what people think.
That's going to be awesome. Can't wait to hear some of that stuff. What is the best way for a band or artist to get in touch with you to work on a project?
Slide in my DMs. I hit that Instagram hard now because that's what everybody told me to do. Oh, man, my phone, my even camera's broken on my phone, so I don't even get that good of shit anymore. But hit me on Instagram. I got a website. It's beatpockets.com. It's going to have my email and my phone number on there. If you feel like calling me or texting me, go for it. I'm not going to shy away from a phone call. But all my contacts on bpockets.com or at bpockets on Instagram, that's the best way you guys can reach me, and I'll try and get back to you, you know, as soon as possible.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again, Brayden, just for phoning in to do this. It's glad we were able to make this work. Before we let you go, can you give us a little bit of background on this song we're going to play, the artist, and just what it was like working on this song?
So, this is Extra Deluxe. This is the newest track we've got called Glass Gardens that just came out, I think maybe a week ago. Now, it's a synth wave, I would say kind of future-based stuff. A lot of Extra Deluxe's or Nathan's stuff is based on like a lot of like driving rhythm melody stuff. So not so much, you're not going to hear searing leads in crazy pop stuff. But what he has is just that constant, a constant beat sound and some great change-ups that really, drive a lot of his music. So this one has the phenomenal, Danny McKinnon on. We were able to get, access to him, and he does like, you know, just I'm gonna name drop here, famously, does a lot of stuff for Anderson .Paak, and, he's amazing. So we got his guitar work in here to kind of give this other organic edge, because we like his stuff so much. You know, this is right on the edge of like synth funk as well. So you're going to hear some different things. I'm not sure what everybody's tuning into and what or where you're tuning in from and what you like to hear, but I hope you give it to the chorus at least. It's a pretty cool track.
Fantastic. We can't wait to hear it. And thanks again, Brayden.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate making the time for the technical hurdle.
Thanks, man. All right, so this is Extra Deluxe with Glass Gardens. So, on January 17th, Locals Lounge returned in style at its new home, the Railway Stage and Beer Cafe. Take a listen to some highlights from this fantastic night, featuring one of our all-time favorite guests to date, Vancouver's reigning swole queen, Tanya.
The last thing that I'm going to say is that our guest tonight needs no introduction, but she's getting one anyway. There are a few musicians in this town who are linchpins, who not only are so talented that they stand above the crowd, but that they bring the crowd along with them. They build, they support, they communicate, they nurture, and they sing their fucking asses off. And there is no finer example of one of those people than the person to my right. Ladies and gentlemen, Locals Lounge is ecstatic to present Tanya.
Hi, how are you? Okay, my name is Tanya, as this guy told you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really actually very excited to be here because when Locals Lounge first started, it was at the Belmont, and on Sunday nights, I had a radio show called Guilt & Co. Live at Guilt & Company on Roundhouse Radio, which unfortunately is now defunct. I love that word. So I could never do Locals Lounge because it always fell on the same night, fast forward to today. And I'm talking to his sister, Naomi, and I'm like, do you think he would have me on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He said, yeah. And so I'm really excited that I don't have my job anymore and that I can do this. I'm actually so honest about that, like for real. I'm jobless and loving it. The first song I'm going to do is, I have a long-standing obsession with John Mayer. Check it out. Listen. I love my loves, okay? But I would stray for John.
Still a
Well, hi, Tanya.
Sup, big daddy.
I'm so excited that you're here.
Oh, fuck.
So when I first started doing this, I made this list, like an actual, like, Excel document.
Hang on.
Yeah. Okay.
For real, daddy. Listen.
Right. And I was like, okay, who's going to be on the list? First name, Tanya.
Bang, bang.
Number one.
Thank you.
So.
Much appreciated.
I'm excited you're here.
I'm not actually number one. I'm like more like, what am I actually number what in this?
One.
Yeah, no, but like in the, in.
Oh, 25.
25?
Yeah.
Which makes seven. If you're into numerology or the significance of sacred geometry or numbers and shit like that, which I certainly am.
Is seven good or seven bad?
Shut up. I'm going to send you some literature.
I can't
get
wait.
Wise. Yes, seven is very good.
So how long have you been in Vancouver?
11 years, almost 12.
Okay.
I realized today that it's actually, today is my 10-year anniversary of being a Vancouverite. Yeah. I lived here, but I lived in, like, Surrey. I lived okay. in Delta. I lived in Richmond. I wasn't in Vancouver, you know what I mean? But 10 years, as 10 years that I've been like bang in the city.
Well, happy anniversary!
Thanks. I'm having mixed, you know,
right.
mixed feelings about. This.
What would you say? Nice. What would you say is a characteristic that defines Vancouver's music scene? Like, what does Vancouver have that you can't get somewhere else musically?
Wow. Vancouver has a really incredible way of shape-shifting and morphing in time, I think. We go through these, everything is cyclical, right? So we go through like a rock phase, we go through like the, Mumford and Sons phase, which was so long. Like it was hard for me, bro. Like I'm not a banjo guy. And like, I don't know if you're, like, no disrespect, I love all the things that help musicians become what they're trying to be. But like the Peak Performance Project, do you remember that time? Like, did you apply for that?
I didn't know.
No. Hey, well, they wouldn't have taken you. I'm just saying. It's not like,
ouch.
No. I mean, this is the thing. Is that they wouldn't have taken you. They didn't take me. They didn't take like R&B soul funk. But Vancouver, underneath all that, Because R&B and soul and funk wasn't getting opportunities, we were making spaces for ourselves, like in places like Guilt and Company at the Belmont, like we weren't getting the opportunities that we needed. And whenever corporate greed overtakes a city, creativity pops off on the underground, right? And like Vancouver has a really cool way of like reinventing itself in the underground culture. And I think that's super exciting.
That's awesome. That's a perfect answer.
Baby, thanks.
You're the first person who's answered that one correctly.
I was going to say a bunch of horrible shit. I had to dig deep to get a positive one.
How much of Vancouver would you say is reflected in your music?
Like, in my music?
Yeah, like did you pick up stuff from other artists, or is there something about the city that you're like, I am a Vancouver artist, or are you drawing more broadly? Would you say that you're not a local defined?
I am not. I try as much as possible to evade definition, because then I have to be that thing. Somebody was asking me like, as a soul singer, and I'm like, please don't call me that. I consider myself a resident of the city and I love it so much, but honestly, I can't say that Vancouver specifically informs my music, because let's be real, like Vancouver doesn't have a culture. It doesn't have its own culture. It has a bunch of people that are trying to live and eat food and not die, but it doesn't have its own distinct culture, except for the people that are actually from here. They have a culture, but my place is not in, I'm not trying to insert myself into that, be like, yeah, it's because it's not my place. So my work as a black woman, well, as a black thing, my work is to find out who I am. So yes, Vancouver, the surroundings inspire me, and I find a lot of creativity here just by looking outside my window and walking around and avoiding downtown like the plague. But I don't like write about, oh, Vancouver, you're so fine. I don't write that kind of stuff. And I don't like write Vancouver-specific music. It's so bad.
Have you seen that?
I'm fucking poor, bro! Like, that would be... That's Vancouver.
Which is a nice segue.
sorry.
As someone who does write songs about Vancouver, I'm highly offended. No, I'm not.
I love you.
That's
keep
fine.
Doing it, because
I will.
We need positive songs about Vancouver. But they're just not coming from me.
It's a nice segue to my next question, though, which is, what would you say is the biggest challenge that musicians face in this city?
Consistent work. That's not cover music.
Any ideas of how to change that?
Move. I'm just joking. It's not actually. It's just we need more producers like you that do things like this, that champion marginalized styles of music. We don't need spaces that are giving us more and more. Sorry, I don't know why I'm... It's important.
I'm okay with it.
I'm making a point.
I consent to this.
I'm all about consent, baby. Like, we don't need more spaces giving us, like, more of the same that we've already had. We need people that are championing artists for real and actually giving people an opportunity to get to know people on a real level. So, it breaks my heart because a lot of musicians that I really, really love have had to move because it's not possible right now without having to do something that you might not want to do. You know what I mean? Like, I had to work 100 hours a week at a job that I loved and also make music. That's not sustainable, right? Like, it's just not. Somewhere like New York, there's a billion venues, there's enough of a population that likes marginalized music, like soul, R&B, stuff like that.
I went to a Bouzouki hip-hop night when I was in New York. It was like a Lithuanian bar. It's the weirdest thing, and it was full.
There's not space for that here, right? Like, there's not enough people. There's not enough large pockets of different cultural groups to support that. Yeah, it sucks.
That does
balls.
Suck. You know what doesn't suck? Balls or anything else?
Sorry.
Can we possibly, when you finish that sip, get another song from you? Would that be copacetic?
It won't be about balls.
You guys want to hear more from Tanya? Yeah, then let's do that.
Thank you. I promise it won't all be dark and dreary. I have a lot of nice things to say, too. Anybody who has seen me do what I do before knows that I'm really obsessed with certain archetypes in music. For me, the divine embodiment of feminine energy is someone like India Arie or somebody like Lauryn Hill or somebody like... I don't know who else. Tracy Chapman. Well. Anyway. So people always ask me to do specific songs, and I get really pissed off. So I'm not going to do those songs tonight. What I'm going to do is the ones that I really like. So this first one, I'm going to do a couple of covers, but this one is by the one and only Sade, who, remember, this woman is 60 years old. She looks better than I ever will. God, I love her. She's half Nigerian, just so you know. Same hood.
is any good? No, DJ's playing that same song. Oh, and I have so much to do. I have to carry on my way. Instead of wondering if this grief will ever be gone. I'm crying everyone's tears. I have already paid for all my future sins. No, 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 no. There's nothing anyone can say to take this away. It's just another day, and nothing's any good. No. I said I wonder if this grief will ever be gone. I feel like I am the king that keeps the sorrow. The sorrow, oh, well, the king of sorrow.
Be all dark and dreary. Anyway, here's the king of sorrow.
Fake jam. Sorry, guys.
Go. Emotional whiplash there.
What can I say?
So, this is something that you've talked about in interviews and stuff, and many people may know, but maybe not everyone knows, that in 2016 you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Sure was.
I think most of us have heard of MS.
Yeah.
But I don't think a lot of us really can put it into a context or know what it is. So, yeah. Like, how would you describe it? What did that mean to you?
Okay, so multiple sclerosis is an autoimmune disease that is affects the central nervous system and is often degenerative in nature and definitely can be debilitating in a serious way depending on the severity of your disease. I have what's called relapsing and remitting MS, which is great in the grand scheme of things that are very shitty. But basically, with relapsing and remitting multiple sclerosis, I have episodic disability. So if my MS is triggered, the first thing that will happen is lesions will form on my brain, and these lesions cause scar tissue, which then affects messaging that goes from my brain to different parts of my body. So if the lesions get bad enough and the scar tissue gets deep enough, it can cause permanent disability that will, for me, mean I will forever use a cane. I have a limp in this side of my leg, 40% less strength in this side of my body when things are really bad. I have seizures. I lose my vision, et cetera, et cetera. Right now, pretty good. Feeling all right. You know, but 2 weeks from now could be a very different story. That's the nature of this disease.
And what's that meant for you as an artist?
It's been a challenge.
Really? You don't say.
Understatement of the century. It's been incredible because it's given me a lot of clarity and it's given me an opportunity to really hone in on what and who I am if I can't move. Because if my body does what it wants to do to me, I won't move. I won't walk. I won't play guitar. I won't sing. I will likely just be in a wheelchair. So I had to figure out, okay, if that's the worst case scenario, if that's what's going to happen to me, what? How can I still be myself and feel like I'm putting honesty into this world, and how can I be of service with nothing to give physically, just my heart and my energy and showing up. So that, I don't know, I kind of went circuitously around that question, but I think I answered.
That's a pretty solid answer, okay, I'd say. You guys, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you haven't always lived in Vancouver. Where were you before you were here?
I was born in London, England, the United Kingdom. Piece of shit.
Formerly of Europe.
Formerly of Europe. Currently super racist. Just saying the honest truth. So my dad is from Nigeria. My mom is from Zimbabwe. I was born in London, England, raised in northern BC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. And then when I was finally like, hey, guys, this whole place sucks, I came here.
Right. So that's a slight upgrade.
Yeah, I was like, same, I was 17, 18. I was like, hey, guys.
And were you singing then? Like, when did you start?
I embarked upon my journey to become a performer at the age of 17. I was in high school and I had decided that I wanted to be an actress, honestly. Because I could go to university and get a degree for that a little bit easier than going to university and getting a degree for singing. Because my parents, I could like kind of disguise it as another education. You know what I mean? That's how I got to you. Yeah, you know what's I'm gonna game.
A brief interlude for fist bumps. Tradition.
Yo, immigrants are straight always faking their parents out on some shit. You know? You're like, yeah, I'm in engineering, but you're taking all music classes? Seriously, my brother has been in undergrad for 10 years. He has figured out the frickin' system. I'm telling you, just be like, yeah, I'm gonna get to the degree, but first I'm gonna take every philosophy class. Straight. Very smart guy.
Which makes me feel stupid because
I mean, you did it the wrong way.
30, I did. My parents always knew what I was doing, and that was a mistake. So you were performing, you were in acting school, and then you walk us, I guess, give us a little bit of a brief history up till now.
Wow.
When you got to Vancouver, let's start here. When you got to Vancouver, what was the scene like?
I got super addicted to drugs as soon as I got here. I'm not going to lie to you, dude. I lost 7 years of my life as soon as I got here. Like, the first people I met were like, hey, do you like cocaine?
It was like an after-school special.
Fucking yeah, bro.
I didn't think that happened.
It happened to me. I'm grateful now is best. I mean, I'm grateful because I know I don't like cocaine now.
This is a very good time like cocaine.
Oh, exactly. I'm telling you. If you still like cocaine, we can't be friends because there's a 50% chance you're going to die. Okay? I literally can't be friends with you. I've lost too many people in my life in this city to tainted drugs. Like, just exit from my life so I don't have to cry over you. For real. I'm not trying to be a dick or anything, but like,
so on the other,
I can't.
On the other side of the cocaine.
Do you do cocaine?
I do not do cocaine.
Good guy. Cool.
I do math.
Oh, well, no, that's cool though.
Math. I do math, like statistics.
Give me some. That's my dad right there.
And also I do a lot of meth.
Yeah, I do.
So you came to Vancouver, you got coked out of your mind, and then what happened? Musically. Tell us about how you got through the music scene here.
I was walking down Granville Street, and I ran into a posse of incredible musicians. Randy Ponzio was there.
The legend.
My man. Randy Ponzio was there. David Morin was there.
David, you were actually, he was the January guest in 2017.
That's one of my favorite dudes. I love him. Yeah, I met him on One. Do you remember On One? Junk.
These are all.
Aspire. These are all, like, I'm an old person. Only Jess Vira knows who I'm talking about right now. Like, I know all those guys! Aspire is my dad! Okay, well, I was walking down Granville Street, and this was, like, towards the end of okay, I really need to get clean and sober. And they were just jamming in the street. And Randy, if you know who Randy was a master at connecting with people. Just people walk by and a crowd of 100 people will just surround him in the street. David has the same power, the same magic. Alex Meyer has the same magic, the same power. And I would just watch them and I cried and I sang very quietly along with him. And he was like, what the hell, girl? Come on, get up. And he invited me in. And that was my first entrance into like Vancouver's community of musicians. And it's through that I met Jess. That's how we all started messing around with each other. DNA 6 and all that crazy, like, that was my introduction. And that's how I kind of, they really like wise me up about what is possible here. Because before that, I just played in clubs and did house music and that kind of, those kind of parties, you know?
So you mentioned David, you mentioned Alex Marr, who was also a guest on the show.
My Dove.
But very recently, you released a track with Buckman Co.
Yes, I did.
Who's been on the show, which featured Erica D, who has been on the show.
Bang, bang. It's a family thing. You know how it is.
Who else do you like working with? Like, who's your...
No one.
That's it. Okay, that's the full list.
Small.
Thank you. Good night.
Fucking list, bro. No, let me tell you this, though. There are so many. I can't. I worked at Gilt & Company for 5 years. I'm a spoiled brat. I'm not going to say I played everybody, but I've played with so many of Vancouver's incredible musicians. I can't give you a fucking who do I like working with. So many people would be so pissed at me.
That's why I asked the question.
You were an asshole.
I'm trying to set you up.
Let me tell you this. There are some people that I really love working with, and it's all 15 of the beautiful, beautiful human beings that came out and played on my record and came and played at my show on December 19th. My band is the best. Dave Merkins, Aaron Hamblin, Karina Keeling, right here. Fucking beautiful human beings. Jean-Say Leduge. I can't. Can you give me a list? Baby, pull out the list, and I'll just shout it out. Jess Vira, fucking Jillian Thompson. I don't know. If you are starving for music in this city, you don't know how to read the internet.
It's true. Hashtag Locals Lounge.
Hashtag Locals Lounge. Get it right here.
Speaking of music, can we get another song? Yes, you guys want to hear another song from Tanya? Yeah.
Okay. Like I said, I was born in the UK, and I love UK music. There's lots of good stuff. Estelle is one artist from the UK who, oh, fuck, classic for life. I'm going to preface this song by saying, fuck the living daylights out of Kanye West. I have MS, eradicates your short-term memory. I have limited space in my brain. And I definitely don't have room for Kanye West's rap on this song. So instead, I'm gonna do Busta Rhymes. Cause that's better. Okay. He said, "Hey sister, it's really, really nice to meet ya. I just met this 5'7" guy who's just my type. And like the way he's speaking, his confidence is peaking. Don't like his baggy jeans, but I'ma like what's underneath them. And I ain't been to MIA. Heard the girl, it never rains in New York's either way. Show you to the West End. Show you to my best friend. I'm liking this Canadian boy. Canadian boy. I want to go someday. Take me to New York. I want to see LA. Let's go shopping, baby, then we'll go to a cafe. Let's get on the SkyTrain, take me to your hood. I've never been to East Bend, and I'd like to see what's good. You're dressed in all your fancy clothes. Well, your skin is looking fresh to death, I'm loving through your toes. You walk that slick walk, you talk that slick talk. I'm making this Canadian boy, Canadian boy. Break it down one time, come on. I'm like, party, yeah, Sydney, party, yeah, hooray, shit. With me and all my brothers come around, you wait, shit. When I come through, you suckers know I do my thing. I bring you more money than I bring you money. Like the chickens at the rescue. I'm about to flow and caress you. Bless you, then some suckers come to your rescue. Why you assuming then I blossom and bloom? I'm coming soon, hit you with a boom, give me some room. You had enough. I said, I know I want some more stuff. Hey, split, where is my weed at? I said, I know you suckers need that. Cause even though I'm getting money, I cut. With the cars and the big crib.
So everybody spread love. Said spread love. Could you be my love? Could you be mine? Could you be my love? Could you be mine? Could you be my love? Oh, will you be my Canadian boy? Canadian boy.
Was a huge rap upgrade.
Fuck you, Kanye!
Listen, I don't have words for him right now. I'm a little mad.
You do have to have a certain kind of arrogance to rhyme UK with UK. Like that's
oh god, so lazy. He's just lazy. It's just laziness. I love him though. Like, come on. This is why I get really pissed about it. It's like he's good. He's great. He's incredible. He actually is a god. But he acts like a doo-doo head.
Hey, come on. This is a family show.
I mean, I'm just trying to... It's for the kids. Doo-doo head.
So you mentioned the... And I met you at the time when you were at Guilt & Company.
Yes.
I'm not gonna big up the competition too much. But... Guilt & Company is an incredible space. We're incredibly lucky to have it. Can you tell us a bit about what your role was there and what you sort of took away from that experience?
Yes, I would love to share. I started at Guilt & Company as a host. So the lovely lady who's sitting in the booth at the front door who like, can I see ID, please? Give me a goddamn money. That person, that was me. And I was fresh out of film school. I thought I was going to be a producer and make movies and like, that's it. And I did not get a job after film school. Surprise. Surprise. Surprise!
You work
in a bar now. You know what I mean? Surprise! It wasn't a surprise. Everybody told me that was going to happen, but it's fine. It was the best thing. So I went to Guilt & Company. I started as a host, and I just worked my way up as a host, management, and then there became an opening. The GM was leaving, and I was like, I'm passionate about this place. I love music. I fucking know everybody. Like, let's make this shit pop and let's create a space where R&B and soul and funk can happen. Like, there's enough, like, everything in the city is geared towards people with banjos. Like, we don't need to be that. We can open up. We can, yeah, you know, I'm not against banjos. I love them. I love them. But I am against every place having the same thing. You know? And like, every hotel has the same thing. That's cool, but there has to be a place for people to grow as artists. And I knew and I felt in my gut and my soul that that was Guilt & Company. And that's why I said, I will put, you know, really chasing my music on hold because I believe that I can grow as an artist here and I can foster community and change in here. And
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No. I'm gonna not do my shit. He'll be everybody else.
Everybody else's shit.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? This is the thing. Let me tell you this. I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad because putting myself at the back and allowing and helping others and developing other shows and helping people to find who they are, now that I'm ready to do it for myself, I just reached out to my community and I was like, hey, man. And people are like, what do you need? What do you need? How can I help? And I didn't realize the depth of what those years did for me until I left and came back. And I realized that, man, my family, my community is huge. It's huge. And it's wildly gifted. It's actually stupid. And what the best part is that when I came back, I got to pick and choose which of those gifted ass motherfuckers I wanted in my life. Yeah. You don't have to have all of them. No.
That's too many.
Yeah.
15 is a reasonable size for a band, right?
15 is a great number. Come on, man.
So speaking of band, you just released the long-awaited Villain EP.
Yeah.
After there was a single, and then there was 2 years.
There was a single, and then there was. Yeah.
But you had the release show at Blue Light Studio.
Sure did.
And I've listened to the album. It's so good.
Thank you.
Who's listened to Villain? Who's listened to the Villain EP?
Thank you very much.
Handful of people. Everyone, your homework assignment for tonight is to go home, get the Villain EP, put it in your ears, and then don't do anything else.
Yeah, just
because
do that.
It's so good.
Actually, never mind. Family audience.
Okay. But how has that process been? How look like? Are you excited about this? Have you got
Absolutely.
More stuff coming?
Yo, dude. Oh God, it's so funny. Okay, check it out. I left my label in October of 2017. Our relationship, it's a positive one. We're friends. It's amicable. It was an amicable split. But I left because I didn't know what the fate of my body was going to be, and it's really hard for somebody to be like, sure, I'll give you all this money. But what if you fall apart? I can't rely on you. I understand. So we parted ways. I left, went to the forest, didn't make any music for about a year. All I did was learn how to paint. I learned how to make my own, like, weed chocolates and mushroom chocolates. And I did a whole bunch of other stuff. I learned about myself as a human being outside of the context of the music industry and the food and beverage live music venue industry. And what happened during that time was my brain just turned on in another way, and my husband and I made the most beautiful record of all time. And it just came from me. I felt like I was getting ditched and forgotten about after I left my label and I left my agent and I left Vancouver. But really, I was dying so that I could be reborn as what I'm supposed to be. And that is a true artiste. So it's corny. But it's true.
I'm into it. I'm so into it.
I had to leave so that I could stop being a musician and start being an artist.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
So the result of that is that we have this new record, which is coming out in March. I have a new single coming out in February. There's like so much. I'm making a comic book. We're doing a live show.
Cool.
I'm doing a one-woman show. I'm trying to take it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Like, dude, trust me. She's going to pop up.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yes, baby. Watch this space. Watch other spaces, too, but watch mostly this space.
So last question, and this is the hot seat question. This is the... Okay. Who is an artist whose story you would like to see at Locals Lounge? Who's a Vancouver musician who you think should be sitting where you're sitting right now?
Karina Keeling.
Yeah! Okay. Why is that?
You know... Okay, I'm going to try and say this in a way that doesn't sound entirely biased. I respect people who find a multitude of ways to express themselves and then fuck them, like put them totally on their heads. Karina is a bunch of different things. And I know a bunch of people that do the things that she does, but no one does them the way she does. Her music, yeah, she plays guitar, but she doesn't play guitar like a normal person plays guitar. She got to tune her guitar like in the most abstract way ever. And what comes out of it is just like, what? The things she does with her voice just make me like, I can do things with my voice, but I can't do that. And to me, I'm just like, that's interesting and exciting. And then the visual art, like, oh my God. I know I'm gushing, but yeah, that's my choice.
That didn't sound biased at all.
It's biased. Plus, she's real cute. Like, okay. Very good looking.
Well, that's the barrier to entry for this show. No uggos on the stage.
No.
There's only room for one. And I'm already here. So what we're going to do, this is what's going to happen now. Tanya's going to do one more song. Can we get one more song for you? Is that cool? Thank you. And then we're going to have audience Q&A. So I want you guys to start thinking of your Qs, because she's got your A's. We're going to chat. We're going to hang out. But first, we're going to get another song. You guys ready? Yes!
All right. Oh, good. Q&A? Like, fuck you guys. Let me just say the things that are off limits. Wait. Okay, I'm good. Open. I'm an open book.
That's a gift for you.
Oh my god.
Are you ready?
Yo, it looks. It actually looks like me. Do you see the likeness? I know I'm wearing a headscarf, but my hair, it looks like that. Thank you so much. This is absolutely beautiful. As an artist, when you receive little things like this, I know that you care about me and that you believe in me and that you want me to succeed. The amount of times that I walk into a gig and there's no one there to greet me and 12 bottles of water on a table and that's it. Dude, this is what we need in order to keep doing it. It's so small. Like that's, I mean, this is big, but what you did is big. But like, it's a small gesture that makes it all the more beautiful. And I feel all the more grateful to be able to do it because of just this little thing here. Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, and so now you have to do my job.
Me?
I want to hear. No. I'm looking at these beautiful people in the audience. This is Q&A, folks. So this is the time when you get to ask Tanya about anything you want, about music, about her time in the city, about what's coming next, about what's come in the past. This is amazing. I have never done this where hands go up before I finish talking. I usually have to like sit and stare and wait. But there's hands. At the back, you were first. Yes, ma'am?
What's the best part of the Sunshine Coast, Kanye?
What's the best part of the Sunshine Coast?
Shit. Gibson's. For me. Sorry. I went to all of it. Seashell's dope. Robert's Creek is the shit. But I didn't really get to hang out there because my back was broken. So, you know. But Gibson's for me is like, it's a good vibe. And the reason I like it so much is because as soon as you get off the ferry, it's like you're in suspended in time elsewhere. Absolutely stunning. A lot of no black people, which is why I came back, kind of. But it's a beautiful place. If you've never been to the Sunshine Coast, go there and take all your black friends with you. My mother-in-law, I fucking love her so much. She will call me on the ferry and be like, Tanya, there are 8 black dudes on the ferry. I'm like, yo, talk to them all. Talk to them all.
Tell them I said hello.
Tell them I said white.
They'll know who I'm. They'll know who I am.
They know me. Yeah, like, honestly, it's such a beautiful place, but like, yeah, it's not.
No, that's fair. Well, you went from like a lot of no black people to Vancouver where there's a little no black people.
Better than absolutely none.
That is true. That is true. Yes.
Hi.
Chaka Khan. 100%. Chaka Khan validated the fact that my voice wasn't perfect. It's good, but it's not. I don't have clear, clean notes like Beyonce. Chaka Khan, like when she sings, she's like, ah! You know what I mean? She's like not trying to be pure. She's trying to like claw her fucking way to that note. And I want that. I don't want to be perfect. I just want to be fucking raw and real with it. So that's who it is for me. And cool. That and Alanis Morissette. That was a joke. I'm kidding. Sorry.
I like Alanis.
Whoever said yes, I love you so much. No.
Jagged Little Pill stands up. Like
it's,
I listened.
It's great.
I listened to that album like a week ago. It's still good.
Hi. How was a big dad? How you doing? Nice to see you again. Yes.
You're one of the funniest guests that we've ever had on the show. When is your stand-up special coming?
Well, if Creative BC gives me the grant that I'm looking for, hopefully it will come out before the end of the year.
Yeah. We weren't expecting that one, were you?
Yeah. I mean, the grant is due, like, by the end of March. So hopefully, well, I mean, fingers crossed. If anybody here works at Creative BC or has the hookup, tell him. This poor black soul. She needs the dodo back.
Give her money.
Give me that money.
I think we got time for one more question. One more question from the audience. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing. Yes. Under the TV there. What is your favorite kind of show to play?
I really like playing shows where And we like playing shows with a band. And we like playing shows in small spaces with bands. Like the Blue Light. Actually, I can say exactly what the perfect environment. The Blue Light show that I just did, December 19th, 15 people crammed into a room, very sweaty, very loud, very sexy. Yes, that's for me. And like, and I can hear myself perfectly. If is that, that's like my dream environment. And also, I mean, Guilt & Co. with the right band. It's such a beautiful space, and I feel so at home there. It's different now because of time and space, but when I step into that room, I feel like I'm coming home. And when I step onto that stage, I'm like, oh, this is so familiar. You know what I mean? I like it. Small rooms like this. Even here, like, this is the right vibe. It's not too busy. It's not too crazy. There's no TVs hanging over my head. I don't have to sing all covers. I can sing some covers, and then I can basically just express myself honestly. As long as I can do that, and nobody comes up to me and is like, hey, man.
Are you going to do Wonderwall?
Hey. I'm like, listen, Jacqueline. Listen, Jeff. Listen, Catherine. Sorry if these are any of your names. Listen, Francis. I appreciate that you think I look exactly like Tracy Chapman. This happens to me all the time. I appreciate you think that I can sing note for note every Aretha Franklin song that there is. But what if I didn't come here for that? You know? I like places, don't trust me, there's a time and a place for gigs like that, and I love those gigs, and I do those gigs. But my home, like, that's not me forever. I like to do this. I like to just have a mic and shout for as long as I want. Yeah, it's happening.
All right, folks, so here's what's going to happen. Yes, you can applaud. That, I think, would be highly appropriate. The last thing that I'm going to say.
Okay, and that was a loop again, because I forgot to turn off repeat a little bit. That's the end of Locals Lounge highlights.
We're back.
And this is the show again.
We hope you enjoyed this recap of Locals Lounge featuring Tanya.
I really did.
If you would like to learn more about Tanya, check out episode 55 on our website, www.pacificsoundradio.com/archive. Locals Lounge returns to the Railway Stage and Beer Cafe on February 21st, featuring acoustic soul singer-songwriter Joshua Job and R&B Hall of Famer Dutch Robinson.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Dutch. Locals Lounge is a great time.
It is a great time.
I always have a lot of fun whenever I go.
I'm looking forward to the next one for sure.
Mm-hmm. Joshua Job's hella good.
Yep.
Haven't seen Dutch Robinson.
No, me neither.
Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Thanks for listening. We're your hosts, James Olson.
And Travis Noel.
Pacific Sound Radio is produced by Jaden Fraze. Travis, how can people check out what we're doing?
You can check us out on Facebook, Pacific Sound Radio, as well as our Instagram, at Pacific Sound Radio, Twitter, at Pacific S Radio, YouTube, Pacific Sound Media, as well as our website, PacificSoundRadio.com.
If you know a local band or artist that you think should appear as guests on our show, let us know. Fill out the form on our website or send us an email to talkpsr@gmail.com. Have yourselves a great night, everybody.
Yeah. Enjoy the snow.